Welcome, everyone, including our replay viewers. Stand by as we get our streams going and notify everyone that we're live. Today, we'll introduce you to a new apprenticeship program in our Southern Territory. We hope you'll share your feedback and comment about apprenticeships. Have you done one? Do you offer one in your state? What type of apprenticeship would you like to see in your area? Activate your voices by commenting now. I am sitting right here next to Delaine Adams, who will be giving us our latest news for the IAM in just a few minutes. We have about a minute to go. And Rhonda Rogers is in the studio, too. Come give us a sneak peek, Rhonda. We have 1 minute to go. She's like, no, I'm going to wave from my seat. So Rhonda's standing by in the wings. But Delaine, why don't you say something while I get my stream going?
Oh, I mean, this is last show of Activate Live for the year. Can you believe it?
Last live one, yeah.
Last live show. Yes, let's. We might have a surprise for you next week.
Yeah, we have some ideas. We may be cooking something up. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Oh, there's the show. There it goes.
All right.
I have the stream going. This is great, and it's 3 o'clock. Activate Live starts now.
Activate your voice.
Fight for your rights.
Speak up.
Speak out.
We're union and we're proud.
Go union.
Live from Maryland, this is Activate Live.
Welcome to Activate Live, our weekly show about the Machinist Union, organized labor, and working people. I'm Tanya Hutchins, a communications representative, coming to you live from the Robert J. Kolaski Studio at our headquarters in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Here's Delaine Adams now with the latest IAM news. Delaine?
Well, start off with, this will be the last live show of 2018, so, it's been a good year.
I can't believe it's almost 2019.
Well, let me get into the news. In Illinois, more than 170 members of IAM Local 2068 at Silgan Containers in Rochelle, Illinois, are on strike after rejecting the company's latest contract offer. Silgan is the largest metal food packaging company in the country. The machinist members are striking for better wages, benefits, and working conditions. And so you see the solidarity out there, and look at that from the W3, great pictures. Thank you, Tracy Drummond, for sending us that picture. So again, make sure we support our members at Local 2068 in Rochelle, Illinois.
We always have great solidarity down from the Whippesinger Center with all the members there from all around North America.
Yeah, and that's a great crew out there. Yeah, I see some familiar faces. So.
And the support means a lot.
It does. And big news out of Midwest Territory, IAM Midwest Territory General Vice President Philip J. Gruber is retiring at the end of this month. GVP Gruber will be succeeded by IAM Midwest Territory Chief of Staff Steve Galloway. And he will serve as General Vice President effective January 1st, 2019. And Grand Lodge Representative Luther Williams will take over as Chief of Staff. And this is what President Martinez had to say about GVP Gruber. Our great union will forever be grateful for the contributions of Phil Gruber. For more than 4.5 decades, Brother Gruber has served our membership with dignity, passion, and skill. From the strike line to the negotiating table and everywhere in between, Phil has been the leader our union needs in the toughest of times. He is a true friend, and I wish him and his family all the best in his well-deserved retirement.
So congratulations all around.
Yes, congratulations. I know GVP Gruber will continue to do great things in retirement.
He will. He will be missed, but we're glad that, you know, that's one of the things we fight for is retirement. So.
Yeah, congratulations to GVP Galloway and Chief of Staff Luther Williams.
That's right.
So in California, we have some news about Amtrak. Recently, Congressman Mark Takano and TCU IAM National Vice President Ron Clues sat down for a discussion about Amtrak's decision to close its Riverside, California call center. This decision by Amtrak will put 500 TCU IAM members out of a job and send their work to a low-wage, no-benefit outsourcer. So, again, this is just a blow to the people around holiday time, 500 people finding out about their jobs being sent away. Here's Sean McGrath, who recently has an op-ed in the Press Enterprise newspaper in California, says, we've given all our all to Amtrak. Isn't it time Amtrak gave us a little respect, dignity, and transparency in return? He's a 12-year employee at the call center there. And here is a military veteran, Army veteran, Teresa Kolaris. Being able to work at Amtrak's Riverside call center was a blessing for me and my family. I'm a single mother with two boys, and I was able to take care of my kids on the great benefits and wages provided by Amtrak. So again, doing everything we can to make sure we fight for those 500 members there at Amtrak's call center. So our heart goes out to Teresa and Sean, but thank you to Sean and Teresa for telling their stories.
That's right. It really hits close to home when you can relate to these stories and tough news to get right before the holidays.
Yeah, tough news. So.
Tough fight. And we've all, well, I've ridden Amtrak for years and appreciate all the hard work of the workers who are associated with it. So, yes, we'll continue to fight.
Continue to fight. So that's all for the news right now, Tanya, and until 2019.
Okay.
All
thanks right. So much, Delaine.
Take care. Have a
we
great
may
show.
Come get a sneak peek before then. We'll
that's
see.
True. That's
just
true.
Won't be live.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Delaine.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Well, for more than 100 years, apprenticeships have been a traditional method of on-the-job training in the United States and Canada. Historically, the IAM has worked with employers to develop apprenticeships across North America. We all know that a good job can change not only a person's life, but a family's life and improve quality of life. Well, we have a new apprenticeship program in our Southern Territory in Tennessee, and we're going to be joined right now by Keith McFarland, IAM District 711 Assistant Directing Business Representative, and also Roger Garner, who is with the Northwest Shoals Community College. Thank you both for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
Good. We're so happy that we had a chance to talk to you about this new partnership.
Well, we're excited to talk to you as well.
Well, first off, tell us, Keith, a little bit about you and when you joined the Machinist Union.
Well, I've been a union member for approximately 28 years now. I went to work for TVA back in 1991 as an apprentice. Worked in the shop for about 14 years. And in 2005, I became a business representative and an organizer, and been doing that for almost 14 years now.
Now, you were an apprentice, and now you have this partnership that has come about. How exactly did the partnership come about?
Well, from the time that I became a business representative, we were working on trying to establish a building trades type program. And we were doing some training with TVA and testing for our hourly machinists. We moved that over to the college, and they were working with the local steward here at the power service shop with TVA to test our members, and actually got into a conversation with one of the instructors over there at the college about our apprenticeship program. To make a long story short, they said that they would be more than willing to help us, and they could help us establish an apprenticeship program, and it's just kind of grown from there.
Now, Roger, tell us a little bit about Northwest Shoals Community College. And you have had a machining program for a few years now, haven't you?
Yeah, sure. Northwest Shoals is a comprehensive community college that does most of your technical areas, but also does academics along with that. And the machine shop has been there for years, and one of the reasons that it's so successful is the quality of the instruction. You know, the instructor does a really good job with what he does. He gets calls weekly for machinists. None of the machinists, they all have some kind of cooperative agreement before they graduate. And you know, he gets calls regionally for machinists because there's so much demand in that area.
Now, speaking of demand, you're saying that you're getting calls weekly. And I was going to ask you what type of need is there out there for machinists in your area. Does that mean after these apprentices are done with the program that they're most likely to college's website, Joe, if you want to...
We're back.
Okay, so this is part two, everyone who's just joining us. We are talking here on Activate Live, our webcast, with Roger Garner of Northwest Shoals Community College and also Keith McFarlane with IAM District 711 about a new apprenticeship program. And I was just asking Roger to tell us, how does this new apprenticeship program work?
Well, the way it's set up, and of course it's a DOL approved program, there are 1,200 hours of classroom instruction. And that combined with, that would leave 68 hours on the job training. It's a 4-year program. And when you get through with that program, you know, you will have the on the job along with the classroom, and you should be qualified as in any area of machine tool work.
So that's pretty good. I mean, we're hearing more and more about apprenticeships these days, combining classroom work with on-the-job training. What about the need for apprenticeships in general? Because we used to have so many more than we do now.
Absolutely. You're seeing, you know, and everything works in cycles. So, you know, you're seeing that the demand for that increase dramatically as people can't find qualified workers in all areas. You know, we work with several different people, and the ones we work with now are not the traditional apprenticeships like this is. You know, this is a traditional DOL apprenticeship that we're talking about, and I think that's the best model. I think it's been proven, it's been done for years. But to answer your question, there's a tremendous need for this, and a lot of companies are inquiring about this. And you didn't hear this 10 years ago.
Now, what range of pay can apprentices expect?
Well, they can expect anywhere from $25 an hour as starting out as an apprentice. And for the pay scales that we have here in this area, it could be anywhere from $25 an hour on up to $40 and above. So there's some good opportunities there.
Great opportunities. Those sound like living wages to me.
They are.
Well, we have people out there that are listening right now, and they're wondering, how can students apply?
Okay, I have that. I have the link. And this link will take you directly to the application. The link is NWSCC Moodle, MOODLEDEMO.com, and like I said, that takes you directly to the application itself. You fill the application out and hit submit, and you're in.
So let me make sure I got this right. NWS BC, like B as in Betty.
DC.
DC. NWS DC. Noodle.
DC.
DEMO.
No, it's CC, Community College.
NWSCC. See, I'm glad I'm repeating it, because there's probably people out there doing the same thing that I am. So we're going to put this link right into the comments so that people can see it.
Right.
NWSCC. Gotcha. And you can get it from the main page. Can we put the page up? So we're going to try to actually put the web page up. And here you can see the programs of study. And as we said, they've had machining on there for a couple years now. And then after they apply, how many spots are open, Roger?
10. The first class, we're planning on taking 10 slots, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
This sounds like such a great program, and I know there will be a lot of interest. There is a lot of interest already. Keith, when will the apprenticeship start, and is there room for expansion?
We're looking to start on February, the first week of February, and yes, there's room for expansion, not only here in this area, because we'll be looking down the road for the future needs for the contractors and the employers that we currently service, but there's a potential to grow this throughout our entire district. DBR Jerry Benson and Business Representative Ernie Epps, they're looking at starting a program in Nashville. We're looking at moving it to Chattanooga from there, and then hopefully utilizing this as a template to move all across the country through all of our territories and districts.
That would be wonderful and welcome news to so many people out there that are looking for training.
It is,
absolutely.
Keith and Roger, are there any other details that we missed that you'd like to include?
None on my part. I mean, you know, it's just, we just want to stress what a wonderful opportunity that this is. You know, like you mentioned, a livable wage. You know, this is something that you can build a future with and a family.
That's right. Well, I'm sure you'll get more than 10 applications, so that'll be a hard decision. We wish you the best of luck on it, and definitely keep in touch with us. And thank you so much for your hard work on this apprenticeship program, and I really can see it becoming a model for all of our territories.
Thank you,
Tom.
Okay, thank you. So what do you think about apprenticeships? Comment now to activate your voice about on-the-job training. Let us know if you're in a program now or if you've graduated from one like Keith and how it changed your life. You can comment on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube right now. And we've already had people commenting already, so thank you to the people who have commented. I've already lost my stream because our stream is split into two. So I am going to just refresh there. Joe, do you have any comments we want to put up? Not yet, but we thank you for commenting because I saw people that were already commenting at the beginning of the show. Well, the Coalition of Labor Union Women held its National Executive Board meeting and Sisters Not Afraid of Power Conference. We call it SNAP Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. 2 weeks ago that happened. IAM Women's Young Workers and Human Rights Director Rhonda Rogers joins us now to give us a recap and to tell us about our upcoming Women's Conference next June. Thanks for being here, Rhonda.
Hello.
Hey there. So we are going to start out with the CLUE NEB, the SNAP okay. Conference. So tell us what you thought of it. I know there was a great panel discussion. It was a political discussion.
Oh, yeah.
That happened. What did you think of the conference?
I thought it was really good.
And you're the CLUE National Vice President, by the way.
Yes, I'm the Vice President representing the IAM. So the panel itself was excellent. Y'all can see that, right?
Yep, all the panels. Okay.
Yes. Those are various women in Arizona that were newly elected to positions in, you know, in a service. So school board up to state senators and a congresswoman.
It was very inspiring to listen to them tell their stories.
Yes.
It really was.
One of the ladies that was elected to school board was a teacher that was very instrumental in the Arizona Teachers Movement. Arizona has, I don't know, one of the lowest pay rates for teachers. And it was hurting the teachers, it was hurting the kids. You couldn't keep teachers there, and she just got mad. And she got involved, and then she ended up running for office, and now she's on the school board.
So she is truly creating
yes.
change.
She is.
From the inside out.
So it was very, very exciting to see some of the work they're doing down there.
Very inspiring. And we had so many women from across mm-hmm. North America that came to take workshops as well as hear these panel discussions.
Yes.
What are some of the other highlights? This here is actually the Media New Technology Committee that I'm on, and we're there with Elise Bryant, the president of CLUE, in the back there. But it's just such a wonderful time to come together and to talk about power and women's power, the women's movement, because it is SNAP, Sisters Not Afraid of Power.
Yeah, and that is such a tremendous meaning right now, because for a long time, sisters were afraid of power. And I think within the last few years, they're not so much. So statistically, you have to ask a woman 7 times to get involved in a position of leadership.
That seems like such a
yes.
a large amount to ask.
Yeah.
7
yeah.
times. That is amazing.
So yeah, we're working on helping our sisters overcome that because there's so much potential out there. For leadership.
I did meet a woman, a union member from Philadelphia, and she was actually considering running for office. So that was just very inspiring to hear her consider that. Right. And I think she's in her 20s, so it's very inspiring. One of the women that was on the panel with the panel was 29.
Yes.
So this is just wonderful.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Now, we actually are going to continue this discussion because we have a women's conference coming up in June.
No, our women's conference
in April. I'm sorry. It's the communications conference is in June.
Right.
I'm glad you corrected that. Okay. So April, there you have it. We all arrive on April 2nd and all the activities start on the 3rd. So tell us a little bit about that.
I am super excited about this. I actually sat down with my assistant yesterday, Arnett Powell, who's been really helpful as far as getting this going. And letting me know what it is I need to know, but we looked at our agenda, we looked at some of the workshops that we want to have, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do. There's some leadership workshops in there. We want to look at some contract language that women may want in their contracts. And we definitely want to encourage our sisters to run for office.
It's a great chance to compare notes with other women from other locals.
Yes.
And inspire each other.
Yes. And we do have some sisters that are running now. In fact, a couple of them just won their elections. So that were in our women's leadership class in October.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
We have a new vice president. I don't know if Anna Wiles is out there, but congratulations on being elected to vice president at your local. And Lori Christensen, congratulations on your new shop stewards role.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah.
So it's working.
It is.
The empowerment is working. And we even have a women's march coming up that we're talking about later. January is going to be a busy month. With all the activities that we have.
It is. I'm really excited.
it should be great. It'll be busy, but it will be great.
Yeah.
So wonderful. Yeah. Now, you have a t-shirt contest.
I do. So one of the things that I really like to do is get input from our members, from our sisters, you know, as far as this t-shirt contest goes. As far as what they want, you know, we go out and we try to get clothing and things like that, and we've got some really nice looking women's clothing in our gift shop, and maybe in the future we'll bring some of that on the show. But one of the things that I have wanted to do for a long time is open it up so that our members can design their shirt. And so I felt like with this women's conference, that would be a great time to give our sisters the opportunity to design their conference t-shirt.
Oh, this is awesome.
So we're having a contest.
Yes, so you still have time to enter the t-shirt design contest for the women's conference. So just visit this website that is up on the screen. So it's iam4.me/19-WC-t-shirt, and we'll try to put this link in the comments as well. Just go there, submit your entry before the end of the deadline, and the deadline has been extended to February 1st. So tell all of your artist union member friends out there.
Yes.
It would be great, you know, if we could have a woman artist, that would be wonderful.
Yes.
Submit your entries.
Right.
Tell your artist friends. I know we have a lot of union members out there that are artists.
Yes.
So this is a great chance to showcase your skills.
And
what do they get if they win?
There are prizes.
See, prizes.
Money. There's money.
Ooh.
So first prize is $500. Second prize, I think, is $300 maybe. And third prize is $200. And we'll showcase your designs at our women's conference.
Yes. So hopefully we don't have any starving artists out there. But if you are starving, $300 or $500 will help.
Won't
it? Yes. So we hope everyone will submit. And we're really looking forward to this conference.
I am really looking forward to it. We haven't had one for so long. And I'm just real excited about it. There's a lot of good feedback from our sisters out there. Many of our classes at the Whippesinger Center, the classes end up creating Facebook groups. And so there's a lot of chatter in many of the Facebook groups that we have for the women's conference.
Okay, so, Scott Gardner here says, I'm working on a design. So he's on it.
Awesome.
We have people already. This is great. Adriana Picasso is saying Rhonda is leading women in the right direction.
Oh, thank you, sister.
Thank
you, Adriana.
Oh, that's wonderful. So people are starting to comment. And I know that you've gotten an entry already, so hopefully Scott will get his in, and it'll start the ball rolling.
Right.
And have another month. Yeah.
Yeah. And so as far as our judging goes,
who's
the judging? The judging is going to be done by outside people, and they will not see the names. So they're just going to get the entries. So
that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, trying to keep it as non-biased as possible. So they won't know who you are till after they choose.
And you are truly judged on your work that you submit.
Yeah. So that'll be fun.
Okay. Well, so looking forward to it. And I know we always have the question. You know, are men welcome to the women's conference? I know it's still in the works with workshops, but there might be a workshop for men.
We're working on it. So yes, what we recognize is this: the theme of the conference is "Women Rising, Unite the Fight." So, what is the fight? I think people may want to know what that is. The fight for me and what we're building this conference around is the idea of workers having power. And so in order to do that, we have to be united. And in order to be united, you have to look at every aspect of what it takes to build a good army, so to speak. And so we hope we have more women than men.
You probably will.
I'm not going to lie, but men are welcome too. We need your input. We need your support.
That's right, because we have a lot of men who are supportive, who are feminists.
Absolutely. This is about building power for workers. And in order to do that, we have to be united.
That's true.
So that's what we're going to do.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Anything else? Oh, okay. What was it like way back when you first joined your shop and you were one of the few women that was out there?
That now I
Taking
laugh
you back
about it.
Now, yeah.
Yes, yes. So I've worked in two shops.
Okay.
First one was Delphi Automotive Systems. I was a member of the IUE, which merged with the CWA.
Mm-hmm.
There were quite a few women in there. So it wasn't that horrible, but then when I went to AK Steel, I was the only woman in my department. I think there might have been one other woman on a different shift.
And this is in Middletown, Ohio, right?
Yes, I was the only woman in my department, and the guys did not know what to do with me.
Wow.
They didn't know whether they should talk to me, whether they should ignore me, how to treat a woman. And
you're another worker, you're a human being.
Yeah. So after a few weeks, I settled in, and we really had a lot of fun. They were great guys to work with. I remember one time, I won't say getting in trouble, I didn't do anything wrong, but the boss yelled at me.
Okay.
And those guys went to bat for me. So
that's true support. Yeah.
So yeah. And of course I was elected to the committeeman position. It's a full-time union position in my shop. There's about 1,800 people out there. I don't know, maybe 10%, 20% women.
Mm-hmm.
And I was elected, first woman elected out there.
So that means a lot of men voted for you.
Absolutely they did. And they will. I think there sometimes is this disconnect where people think that, men are just going to vote for men and women are just going to vote for women, and that is not true.
That can be assumptions about race, about sex, about anything, orientation.
Right. I have found in my experience that workers want people that are going to do the job. They're going to stand up for them. And they don't really care what you look like or, you know, what race you are, what sex you are. If you're going to work for them, then they're going to get behind you and support you.
I wish everyone felt like you. I know you have your experience. I have my experience. But everybody's experience is different. So there may be a lot of women out there that are having a really hard time. Whether it's through hazing or problems on the job that they need to file a grievance about.
Right.
So there are so many different experiences out there, and we'll probably hear about those experiences at the women's conference.
I would hope so. I would hope so. That's a good, safe place to talk about those experiences. And again, even if we have brothers there, which I do hope that we do, in a safe space like that, it gives them the opportunity to kind of hear without any distractions.
Well, thank you so much. Anything else you'd like to say, Rhonda?
Gosh, I don't know.
Your conference is in 4 months.
It's in 4 months. It is right around the corner. I can remember back in October talking about this conference last.
That's right.
Not like a couple months ago, but last October we were talking about it.
Wow.
And now it's almost here.
It's here.
So yeah, I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about the MLK conference, Martin Luther King Jr.'s conference this year.
And we'll give you the dates about that shortly, too.
Yes, because that is going to overlap with the third Women's March, and we'll be participating in that. And so
that'll be the busy weekend. We have to come up with a name for that weekend.
Yes.
They should just call it a human rights weekend.
Yeah. Well, the theme of that conference, I love the theme of that conference, the fierce urgency of now. And when you think about that and you think about now, I think they appropriately named that conference.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we got a lot of work to do.
Any longer.
No.
No,
it's time to get up.
For apathy.
Right.
Well, thank you, Rhonda.
Thank
Always good
you.
To have you here.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it. And if you have any questions for Rhonda, type them in comments right now. Let us know what your women's committees are doing in your locals and districts and what you'd like to see at the upcoming women's conference in April. And here we have John Gehringer saying, getting our women's members involved has always been our biggest challenge. My first board member went on to become a business rep 2 months after becoming... Hold on, if I could find his comment, I've got it right here.
Yes.
Hold on, I can still read it. I found it 2 months after becoming my trustee. I welcome them to be more involved in and active in the local. That is so true, and a lot of people have said the same thing. So they're trying to get the women's committees, you know, off the ground in each local and district, and it works.
Yes.
You know, we've shown that it works by getting involved.
And our women's leadership programs
are full. So each time we have one, it's full. There's always a waiting list.
When
is
your next one?
That's awesome. It's in February.
Okay.
It's in February, yes. We do have a waiting list. But I would encourage you to go ahead and send your forms in. Sometimes people can't come, you know, so don't wait. Don't wait. Go ahead and send them in.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
All right.
We appreciate it. Well, we always like to take a look at labor history. And each week in labor history, looking back this week, in labor history, we have quite a few important dates to share with you. And we're going to start out with Cesar Chavez, who was jailed December 10th, 1970. So he was jailed for 14 days for refusing to end United Farm Workers' lettuce boycott. So that's this week in labor history in 1970, 14 days. Next up, we have, on December 11th, a small group of black farmers organized the Colored Farmers National Alliance and Cooperative Union in Houston County, Texas. They had been barred from joining the all-white Southern Farmers Alliance. By 1891, the Colored Farmers had more than 1 million members. And on this date, December 13th, 1924, American Federation of Labor founder and president Samuel Gompers died in San Antonio, Texas. He once said, "The man who has his millions that will want everything he can lay his hands on and then raise his voice against the poor devil who wants 10 cents more a day. So that is a famous quote from Samuel Gompers, recognizing him there. And on December 14th, 1995, more than 30,000 machinist union members ended a 69-day walkout at Boeing after winning pay and benefit increases and protections against subcontracting some of their work overseas. So we have a lot of support for our workers at Boeing. They stood up for what they believed in, and they got those pay increases and benefits. So that's looking back. And now we're going to look ahead at what we have planned for 2019. So grab your pens and pencils. So we are going to give you some important dates. These registrations are due, and the federal employee program that happens February 3rd to the 8th, that deadline has been extended to January 2nd. So that deadline you see there, December 6th, has been extended to January 2nd. So there's still time for you to get your registration in for the federal employee program that happens in February. And the Veterans Services Program is happening March 31st to April 5th. That deadline is January 28th. For more information, go to wimpasinger.iamaw.org. That's wimpasinger.iamaw.org. So you got all those dates. Hope you wrote all of them down, marking up your calendars. Now, this is the busy time that we're talking about in January. We're coming up on a busy event schedule in 2019, which is less than 3 weeks away. In January, the Indigenous Peoples March is Friday, January 18th in Washington, D.C. The march aims to raise awareness to injustices affecting Indigenous men, women, and children in Canada, North and South America, and the Caribbean. They will be talking about genocide, voter suppression. Also, the Women's March on Washington is the very next day. This is the third march, Saturday, January 19th. It's promoting itself as the Women's Wave, and yes, that's a hashtag too. There will be sister marches in cities across the globe as well. And the AFL-CIO's Martin Luther King Civil and Human Rights Conference will be January 18th to the 21st, also in Washington, D.C. So we have three important events all happening around the same time in the same city, raising awareness. And the Machinist Union has a long history of fighting for civil, human, and women's rights. So we are looking forward to all of this. As we just said, if you're just joining us, our very own Women's Conference is coming up in April, the first week, April 2nd to the 6th. The theme is Women Rising, Unite the Fight. Call letters are out, and if you're an artist, listen up, because there's a t-shirt design contest, and you still have time to enter this contest for the Women's Conference. You can design the t-shirt. Just visit this website and submit your entry, and we have extended the deadline. So that website is iam4.me/19-wc-t-shirt. Got that? And this link is in our comments right now. So just scroll down and you can find the link right in there. We have it there. You can click on it. You could submit right now if you have any artwork ready. But go for it. And we'd love to, all the artists out there, the union artists, we'd love for you to submit. And coming up in June, the Communications Department is hosting its Communications Conference in early June. So this is going to be June 4th to the 6th. If you're a communicator, you won't want to miss a chance to learn how to activate your voice in your local or your district, plus learn how to support other communicators in your territories. So that will be in Vegas. For more information, sign up for iMail. That's the best way to get information from us twice a week. Just go to goiam.org. There is a place there where you can sign up for iMail. It's in our slider at the top. You can also search iMail, and it will come up there as well, and you'll get all of your news delivered to your inbox, whatever email provider you use, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So it'll be coming up again tomorrow, so sign up for it now. So we would like to thank all of the locals out there that are doing holiday drives and putting our slogan into action about service to the community. And thank you for watching during the past year, because that's it for this episode of Activate Live, the last live episode of 2018. And we will see you next year on January 2nd. And at that time, we'll talk to Tracy Drummond from our William W. Wimpasinger Education and Technology Center, who will tell us all about her new role creating W3 social media accounts. Now, you may have already seen them, interacted with them. If not, you can go like all those pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So just search for Wimpasinger Center, and I'm sure you'll find them. If not, we'll fill you in on January 2nd. So we'll see you then. If you like what you've watched, please share this video. See you next year.